Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is Maureen Berger from Tarot International. She's a lead impact facilitator as well as a facilitator for something called Outcome-Driven Selling. We're going to be talking about selling and getting positive results on that. And after all, that's kind of what we all want, isn't it? Maureen, welcome back to the Business News Hour.
Michael, thank you for having me. It's always good to see you.
Well, this is something we all sell, don't we?
We all are in sales.
Yeah. See, I used to have a job a long time ago where I was involved with lots of people in the religious community. Mm-hmm. And one of my opening statements, whenever I'd visit some of these pastors, I'd say, well, how's business? And they go, well, what do you mean business? I'm a man of God. Mm-hmm. I said, well, yeah, but you're selling something, aren't you? We all sell every single day. Some do better than others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the differentiation?
Well, the differentiation that we have found is spending time up front in the sales process. Developing a relationship with somebody, it takes time to develop a relationship. But the goal is not just that immediate sale. It's really the long-term relationship with ongoing sales.
And then how does that all start, Maureen? If we're going to take a look at these various steps to relationship selling or selling through the Tarot International way, where do you start? How do you make that process begin?
Well, you have to think about where the customer is coming from at first in the process. They might enter in at, we have four stages to the outcome-driven selling process.
I'm anxious to hear those.
Yeah. So the first one is building the relationship.
Okay.
The second one is getting to underlying
Let's spend some time on building the relationship.
Building relationships.
All right. So I get that part. Mm-hmm. That's where you really need to be, I suspect, more focused on what your customer wants.
It's not only what your customer wants, they may not know what they want.
Oh, okay.
It's really getting to know them and understand their business.
Got it.
So really spending time up front. But so often the customer does not come into the sale in step one. They come in, they think they know what they want. So they're coming in later on down the process.
Sure.
So it's our job as sales professionals to redirect the customer back through and spend time in establishing that relationship. And some people think it's a waste of time. Let's just go ahead and get the sale in the books. But really, when we spend time up front, it actually saves time in the long run.
Well, sure it would. In some respects, I've heard this called consultant selling. Is it similar to that?
It is consultative and it's collaborative where you're really working together with the customer.
All right. So first we have to build that relationship with the customer, the person that we're trying to sell something to.
Sure.
Does this work along all modes of selling, services as well as products?
Most definitely.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's number one. Number two, what do we do?
In number two, you're getting to the underlying interest. This is where you're helping for the customer to discover what it is that they really want. So a lot of times customers will start out thinking they know exactly what they want to satisfy a need. But our job as a sales professional is to help the customer to challenge their thinking, to get them to think maybe differently about when they first came in. Maybe what they did want will work, but a lot of times it's getting them to see beyond that short-term, tangible need and really look more long-term at the long-term needs and the impact that that will have.
Sure. That makes perfect sense because you might think you need a self-weasel-winding torque inducer to do a specific job, but if you look at the evolutionary process of whatever that job is, maybe there's some other things that come onto that.
Exactly.
And I would imagine if you've built this relationship and now you're looking beyond just the sale of that thing at that time, that most customers, most sales targets, if you will, would appreciate that.
Most definitely. Most people would rather they're looking for us to consult with them and to collaborate with them on the decision. If we don't help our customers with that decision-making process and then they make the wrong decision,
ouch.
Of course they're going to appreciate that much more, that we're helping them and then they really realize that partnership and the trust is there. And then, it becomes much more long-term.
All right. So first, we're going to build this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, we're going to look long-term.
And at the, all the underlying interests that could be present.
All right. And what's the fourth step?
The third step.
Oh, third step.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's the third step. That's okay. The third step.
I've been up since 4:30, Maureen.
Michael, I completely understand.
I'm having that day today. What's the third step?
The third step is where we're starting to look at what are the different options that would satisfy getting at these underlying interests. So we're not making evaluations. We're not judging any of these options. We're just looking at all of the different options and brainstorming different ideas with the customer of what could possibly work to satisfy these different needs. Because we don't want to, again, we don't want to pass judgment in this step because a crazy idea might come out that might actually be something that neither one of us thought about, but might actually be the one that actually works. And we don't want to stop any of those really interesting ideas or interesting options.
So what you're telling us is that this process, this is a process.
It is a process.
It's not, and the process takes time to cultivate.
Yes.
And to make this work. And so far, everything that you said really does focus on the sales target, on the individual whom we're speaking to.
Yes.
Not necessarily on me, the salesperson.
Right. Well, here's the thing. We both have needs. The customer has their needs.
Sure.
And as a salesperson and our company, we have our needs as well. So we need to make sure that both people's needs are being met.
Got it.
Yes, it does focus on the customer, but it's also focusing on the salesperson as well.
All right. So we're down to number four.
Yes. And you're on the right step.
Oh, boy.
So in number four, this is now where we're making the decisions. Hmm. This is the close of the sale. So this is now where you're seeing what items are going to work. And then going ahead and starting to quantify what it is that's needed.
All right. So build the relationship. What was number two?
Identify your underlying interests.
I didn't write any of this down. Can you, identify those interests and then take a look at the long term. And then come down to the final decision making, making sure that that decision matches those other three things.
Most definitely. But before you get to the decision making is exploring all the different options that are out there.
All right. I've got a question here, and I'm not sure exactly how this works in, but I think this is really important. So many times, my son, by the way, is a master salesperson. He loves selling stuff, and he has always thought of the sales opportunity as a game. I've got what you need. You've got my money. Let's just make a switch on this. And he is always, and I think this is wise, he's not really ever considered the price of something when he's selling something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price is not the major factor.
Right.
Should that be?
The price is a factor for some people.
Yeah.
But it should not be the only factor. If we're narrowly focused on just the price and the quantity of what it is that we want, we're missing all of the other opportunity that's there. And there's so much more to the sales process than just price.
Well, then it becomes whatever it is.
It's a commodity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so the idea then is to, if there's a objection to price, for example, and oftentimes there is, you know, well, you're telling me I've got to spend $1,000 for this. Well, I know that I can get it for $950 or whatever that happens to be. Then what happens is again, that's focusing on the price, right?
And that happens a lot. And it's getting your customer to think beyond the price. It's getting them to understand, well, what's included with that price? What happens when X, Y, and Z happens? How are they, this other company, this other salesperson, supporting you in that realm? So it's really getting the customer to understand what it is that they're looking at and getting them to think beyond just the price.
Got it. All right. One of the things that many of us in sales, and again, we're all selling something at one time or another. Even those of you ladies and gentlemen who are dating someone, you know, somebody's selling something to somebody there. What happens when there are multiple decision makers in a room? Who do you focus on and how do you build consensus?
So, Mike, there's a lot of times there are more than one decision maker in a sales process. And it's really understanding what all of their underlying interests are.
Okay.
Also understanding who is the key decision maker. So you don't want to leave one person out because they might have some say that you may not know. A lot of times you might be in a sales situation and you might think, well, I'm just going to focus on the person with the highest title.
Yeah.
but they might rely on somebody else within their organization to help them make that decision. So you don't want to exclude somebody just because you might think that they are the only one in that process.
And again, back to the number one topic that you were talking about building a relationship, that can only come through discovery, can't it?
Most definitely. And that's where you find out who all the players are, is in that step one.
What happens if you end up in a sales process and you're talking to someone who's not the decision maker, mm-hmm. and you can't necessarily get to the decision maker? You've got to go through this intermediary person. Mm-hmm. That can be problematic, I would imagine.
That can be problematic. So you have to understand by working with them that there is this other person there, and you then have to ask other questions, again, getting to the underlying interest of what that other person has, what their interests are. And if they're working as an intermediary, they should understand what some of those needs are, mm-hmm. and then begin to address those. So when they're taking the information back, they're addressing those needs.
Maureen Berger, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about selling and the sales process, according to Tarot International. So why are there so many of these steps? I mean, it must be proven that this works.
It is proven that it works. What we have found, for most of us want to have a long-term relationship with our customers. And if we are just focusing on that, just getting the sale, mm-hmm. then that's all we usually get. If you get that at all. We do know that these steps help us to have a long-term relationship with our customers, to have repeated sales and ongoing sales.
And that's what we want, isn't it?
You want that. It's so hard to get that first customer. All of us have been in sales or are in sales. We know that that's that first customer that you get, just getting in the door, is one of the hardest steps to master. Once you get that person, you don't want to lose them. So really looking at that is not just this for one time. What else can we do down the road?
You know, I go back to my son, because my son is the salesperson, and he really is good. But he has wanted to write a book forever, Maureen, mm-hmm. that's not how to sell, but how to buy stuff. Hmm. He indicates to me, he said, most people don't really know how to buy things correctly. And from that aspect, it's like, well, I know I need whatever this is, but I can't get there for one reason or another because of all of these other barriers. Mm-hmm. And so his whole thing is, how do I teach people how to buy stuff smartly, you know, with mm-hmm. with focus? I thought it was always an interesting, you know, side note to all of this.
That is an interesting perspective, is really looking at it from the customer's point
right.
of view of how do I buy. And that's one thing, as a sales professional, is our job is to help guide the customer through that buying process. There is so much information out there for customers when they go through that buying process. I mean, the internet is full of information. So no matter what it is that you're looking to buy, you can research everything. You don't know whether or not the information you have is valid or not. So it's the job as a salesperson to truly help them through that buying process.
And helping them through that buying process makes also a friend oftentimes.
It makes a friend, but that has to be built on trust.
All right. So let's go back into the final section of this, and that's where we're into the close situation. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways to close a sale. Mm-hmm. Some of them are pretty hard put, you know, mm-hmm. well, here's the number or here's whatever this is, and let's walk through this. But are there some basic questions and some basic responses that you're looking for as you close that sale?
Mm-hmm. Michael, actually, the close starts, there's really no hard, in the outcome-driven selling process, there's no hard close that you're asking when you get to step four. Basically, the sale pretty much closes on its own in this process, because you're asking all of these questions up front. When you're getting to the underlying interest, when you're exploring the options, you're explaining that to the customer. The goal with outcome-driven selling process, where the customer kind of comes to that realization on their own, and then when you are in step four in the sales process, you're basically,
hey,
when do you want to take this?
Yeah, right.
How much of this do you want? Who am I going to talk with when we deliver?
Now, Maureen, you make this sound so easy.
If it were easy, Michael,
yeah.
we would all be doing it.
Exactly.
It definitely takes a concerted effort
and
to
practice, doesn't it?
Yes. Practicing it up front, understanding, and there's so much more to it. We really touched very high level of this outcome-driven selling process. It is a process, but as it becomes a habit, then it becomes your natural way of selling, and it does become easier, but it is a process that you would have to follow.
And again, I think to sum a lot of this up, it's to be, if you're focused on not the sale, but on the customer or on the sales target,
mm-hmm.
and their, his or her needs,
mm-hmm.
then it kind of comes together, doesn't it?
Most definitely.
Good stuff. Maureen Berger, ladies and gentlemen. Do you teach this on a regular basis?
I do teach this on a regular basis.
Yeah, didn't fool me. But so is this a class at Tarot that individuals can take, or that you go out and train? How does that work?
Michael, this is like several of our classes that we teach. It is a two-day class that people can either sign up online for one of our public classes that we hold at Tarot, the Tarot Learning Center. But it's also a class that we go into various companies around the United States, and we train them on outcome-driven selling as well.
Very nice. Outcome-driven selling, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed any or all of this conversation, we will have those points up on the radio blog. Thank you, Maureen, for doing this.
Thank you, Michael.
We always learn cool stuff when the folks from Tarot come in. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
All right, we're going to back out of here, find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you that, Just yesterday, all the tech stocks were having a horrible time. Today, we reversed course. Who needs to be concerned about that stuff? That's coming up next on the Business News Hour.